Hello everyone, my name is George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming out to the channel. Yesterday marked well, a year since the fall of the Assad regime, although many people view it as 8th of December as the crucial day when that was known, because they in the last fortnight the Tahrir al-Sham Hayat Tahrir al-Sham as in the Movement for the Liberation of Syria started making dramatic advances taking Aleppo. And this is what I couldn't understand, because a year earlier, Assad's forces had been in control of something like 60% of the country. It seemed he'd largely won, but there was this sudden and very dramatic collapse by his forces. Just very exhausted, okay, but all those years of conflict, like 13 years of fighting, and it was over very quickly. Something a bit like happened on the towards the end of the First World War. Anyway, so President Bashir al-Assad was evacuated to Moscow with his good wife and children. Didn't even tell some of his closest aides, and the public was lied to, told that Assad was still there. So Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, they took control of the capital city, Damascus, and they proclaimed a transitional government. Ahmed al-Sharaa, who was the supreme of HDS, he proclaimed himself interim president. So the so-called parliament, which was really Assad's rubber stamp, was closed down. The prime minister was arrested. So far as I know, nobody's been executed. And then they drew up a temporary constitution and so forth. So they began. They said they were going to disarm, all the pro-Assad forces. They weren't going to imprison the ordinary soldiers, poor dupes or conscripts in Assad's forces. So this conflict began on since 2011. The Assad family had ruled the country since 1970, when the late Hafez al-Assad, formerly commander of the Air Force, seized power in a military coup. So they were from the Alawi, a sect of the Shia Muslims, so only 10% of the population. And they dominated Syria for centuries. They managed to form alliances with the Christians, about 10%. Some of the Druze were up to 5% of the population, and so forth. Kurds, Yazidis, anyone who wasn't a native speaker of Arabic and a Sunni, which is like easily 60% of the population. And then some of the Sunnis on their side. Now, they were secular. That was a good thing. And that was about the only good thing. And Assad, you could eat what you drink, eat what you want, drink what you want. Or as one Russian who was pro-Assad said to me, the right for a woman to walk down the street wearing a pair of shorts, wear what you want, music and dancing, that was allowed. But no political freedom, no freedom of expression, no real elections, complete sham elections. And I even know of a Syrian lawyer who went back in the 90s, was elected to the Syrian parliament, but he was seen as being a bit too democratic and therefore wasn't allowed to take a seat. So the secret police everywhere, just for attending a peaceful protest, you could get years in prison. So anyway, so the uprising against Assad and obviously horrendous tortures, political prisons by the thousand. I remember there was an Islamist uprising in the early 1980s, and Hafez al-Assad's brother said, "That's in Hama. We killed every single man, woman, and child. It would never ever happen again." Wow. So they used on poison gas many, many times. They deliberately starved their own people to death on many occasions. And obviously, Russia was involved. Russia was doing this, and they got the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps to help them. They because the Iranians perceived it as Syria, sorry, Shia mastery, which they must keep there. The Saudis backing the Al-Nusra Front and other Al-Qaeda affiliates fighting against them. The Free Syrian Army, who were secular Democrats, but they were quite weak. But and eventually, Assad was defeated. Now, the pro-Russian propaganda was really the choice is Assad or something like Al Qaeda, and there is no middle ground. And I would thought that might be plausible because I thought, yeah, Assad is terrible, and his enemies are even worse. Doesn't seem to be the case. I mean, some of his enemies are worse, but have they moderated? People can change. Of course, we've got to allow rehabilitation, reconciliation. Al-Sharaa was on all sorts of lists as a terrorist, but he's been taken off them. So it shows how, of course, that there should be forgiveness and people should be allowed to reform and so forth. So it's a move from this dictatorship, hopefully towards a democracy, but the country's been wrecked. It wasn't rich anyway by, 13 years of civil war. Tens of thousands of civilians and tens of thousands of militants have been killed, hundreds of thousands wounded, millions of people fled the country. The infrastructure is wrecked, so many bridges blown up, roads not repaired for years, buildings not repaired for years. There were sanctions, there was no investment, there was almost no trade. One of the things is the Assad regime was exporting this highly addictive drug to the rest of the Middle East. So much for him and Putin being anti-drugs. because it's the easiest way to earn money. So that's it. But there was still some regime remnants, a bit of fighting in early 2025. And some of the Druze fought against the government. The Druze, they split off Shia Islam in Egypt in the, I think it's the 10th century AD. So there are only about 2 million Druze in the world. They're almost all in Lebanon, Syria, or Israel. I think proportionally, is it Lebanon's got the highest percentage, about 6% of the population's Druze. But Syria's got more Druze people in the world than anywhere else. You know, something like 500,000 Druze people there. Okay, so there was some fighting there. And of course, there was some revenge killings, which is wrong, which shouldn't go on. But sadly, it's going to happen. You've got to expect that. After this civil war, where so many people were killed, with so much egregious cruelty by the Assad regime, some people were lusting for vengeance. Anyway, the population is about 25 million, and the majority of them need humanitarian assistance. Fortunately, sanctions have been lifted. There's a lot of malnutrition. There's a terrible drought and so on. Wheat is the staff of life there. The wheat production fell dramatically. So they've got to do a lot to get running water, electricity, sanitation, and medical care back on their feet. So a lot of internally displaced people, Syrians coming back from abroad. I know Syrians abroad who are cautiously optimistic, were still too nervous to go back. The good news is international airlines like Qatar Airlines, Turkish Airlines have started flying to Damascus and so on. But the security situation was still very unsure. So there are international aid organizations there. Most foreign governments advise people not to go there. Right. So worried that Assad will try and restart the civil war. The Russian military base is still there. Now, the new government could have said, if it wasn't for you, we'd have overthrown Assad a very long time ago. You massacred thousands of our people with your chemical weapons, lied and lied and lied about it, and you blame the insurgents. You're out. Get out now, or we'll attack you. And obviously, Russia could defend those main spaces, but it'd be a problem being surrounded by a hostile country. Now, so I don't know whether the deal was made. They're going to pay some money, but it seems that all is forgiven. Al-Sharaa has even been to Moscow. Al-Sharaa, according to Russia, was the devil incarnate. Suddenly, he's all right because he's won. It shows you how preposterous it is. Anyway, but Israel attacked into Syria. They already occupied the Golan Heights for decades. They took even more of southern Syria, the Druze homeland, partly as a sop to their own Druze minority. And it's a unique opportunity for them. The Syrian military more or less doesn't exist. Syria was in chaos. They'd attacked Syria many, many times during this civil war. And so it's an easy win for them. And they've got even more of a buffer zone. If Syria ever gets strong to try and invade Israel, we'll have to get through even more territory controlled by the Israelis. So obviously, that's terribly bad news. Turkey still occupying a bit by around the Turkish frontier. They were backing one set of insurgents. The United States still occupies some of Syria against the will of the Syrian government. But Syria's not complaining about it because they want the sanctions lifted, and they succeed in that. Al-Sharaa has even been invited to Washington, D.C., been Trump's guest in the White House. So four foreign countries have their troops on Syrian soil, three of them against the will of the new Syrian government. But he's been trying to reassure people who are not Sunni and not native speakers of Arabic that they are respected, they'll have equality in the new Syria. President Ahmed al-Sharaa putting a Kurd, a Christian, a Druze and so on the cabinet, putting women in the cabinet. So his backers are mostly observant Muslims, not just nominal Muslims. So the hijab has become more prominent. I don't think they're creating anything like a Sharia state. So far, it does seem to be quite good news. Now, obviously, it's not perfect, and there have been crimes. Okay, but compared to what went before, to what happened under Assad, it is much, much better, fortunately. But it's obviously going to take a very long time to repair all the damage of the last 13 years.